Mark chapter 5 and verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. What a lovely story this is that Mark records for us. We end our reading there at the end of verse 34. And we look to the Lord to add his blessing upon it. Tonight, in our little series on the great questions of the Bible, we turn our thoughts to a woman that the Scripture records for us is referred to as a woman with the issue of blood. From our reading in Mark's Gospel, it would seem that after the Lord Jesus had healed the maniac of Gadara, that his fame was spread abroad, so much so that after he had left Gadara and come to the other side of the sea, there was a large multitude of people who had gathered there, and they were awaiting his arrival. Mark then picks up the story as we've read it tonight, and he introduces us to this woman who came to seek the Savior's help. Now, this is a very moving story, for it shows us not just a woman with a tremendous need, it shows a Savior with great compassion. A Savior has a heart of love for those who are hurting and who are prepared to seek his help. We've all known at one time or another what it is to hurt. Even the Lord's people sometimes hurt over one situation or another. But we've all been in that place where we know what it is to hurt. And here the Lord Jesus Christ comes alongside a woman who was hurting deeply. And he not only offers her his help, he transforms this woman's whole life. The question we consider tonight is simple. Jesus asked it. He said, Who touched my clothes? Let's look beginning here with this woman's distress, because as Mark introduces her to us, she's a woman of great interest. We're not told her name. We do not know who she was or where she came from, but we do know why she was there. She's following in the midst of a great crowd of people who were gathering and waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's very clear that this woman had a very personal and a very pressing need. She's been coping with an illness for a long time, and she knows that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who can help her and the only one who can heal her. We note first of all that she had an awful disease. We're told it was an issue of blood for 12 years. I won't go into all the background concerning that medically with regards to her condition, but we know that she had a blood disorder, and it was something that we know was also very common amongst many of the women of her day. But the emphasis that Mark gives to us here is this, that this poor woman had been like this for 12 long years with no respite. She had been coping with a constant flow of blood. It was impossible for her to feel healthy or strong, and impossible for her to live what you and I would call a normal life. And of course, this woman's affliction was not just something that hindered her physically, because it made her life miserable. According to the Mosaic law, this woman was seen to be ceremonially unclean. And that therefore made her life more difficult, because she was frowned upon by most of her society. She would have been shunned by many of the people of her day, including her own family circle. She would have been excluded from entering both the temple and the synagogue, so therefore she wasn't able to enter into the religious life of the nation. Now you can put yourself in this woman's shoes for a moment. This was just not something that happened for a short period of time. This has been going on for 12 long years, and this woman had an awful disease. But she knew deep down in her heart, if anybody could help her, then the Lord Jesus Christ could. The second thing I notice about her is this. She was in a terrible dilemma. Not only had she this blood disorder for 12 long years, but to make matters worse, she found no help whatsoever for her condition. It's not that she hadn't tried. The fact is that she had tried everything that was available. She had sought everyone to look for a cure for her state, but whatever it was that she tried, whoever it was that she went to, this woman could not find a cure. For this is what Mark says in verse 26. She had suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered. The doctors had tried. The woman had tried. Others had tried to give her help and counsel and all the help that she needed, but her condition had not changed. She had an awful disease. She was in a terrible dilemma. And you'll note also she was greatly discouraged. That's understandable, of course, when you think of what this woman had to endure. In fact, Mark records for us very interestingly here something about this woman that we need to note, because it sums up the awful distress that she found herself in. For 12 years, she's coping with this disease. She has gone to every doctor and physician that was available. She has spent everything at her disposal to try to bring about a cure. Absolutely nothing has happened except for one thing. And Mark says that she grew worse. She grew worse. After all the advice of her doctors, after all the cures had been tried, after all her money had been spent, this woman's condition hadn't been helped. No remedy to her problem, no respite from her condition. Must be terrible to be in a state like that. To be in a state where you find yourself coping with someone or something that you have no control over, but it controls you. To try everything possible to bring about change and to discover that nothing really works. And to be so down and discouraged about it that you don't know which way to turn. And you know something? Sins like that. The problem that you have in your life and the problem that I have in my life, sin, is just like that. It's an awful thing. You see the evidence of it everywhere you go in today's society, and sadly sometimes in our own hearts and homes. You see the evidence of what sin is
and all that sin has done in the lives of so many people, and many of them are tired of it, and they're weary of it, and they long for change, and they're looking for change, but they're looking in all the wrong places, and they're turning to all the wrong things. And the fact is, they're getting no better. They're getting worse. Sin is taking them further than they want to go. Sin is ruining and ravaging their lives, and they're getting up in the morning, and the thought of another new day is something they can't even consider. They're going to bed at night hoping that tomorrow will be different and somehow there'll be change. But unfortunately, it doesn't happen like that. And even when people take things into their own hands, nothing works. In fact, their condition only deepens. Some have sought to cure it by becoming more religious, but it's not religion that they need. It's redemption through the blood of Christ. Some have sought to turn over a new leaf and start again with the promise that they'll never do this again, they'll never do that again. They'll get rid of those things that are hindering them and those things that are causing them so much concern. So they turn over a new leaf. But it's not a new leaf that they need. It's a new life in Christ. Some of them have sought to go more frequently to church, to be amongst the people who are religious. Well, surely church will have the answer, but it's not church that any one of us needs. It is Christ and His salvation. It's the same for us tonight as it was for this woman. Unless we come to Christ and we find in Christ all that we need, we're going to continue as we are. We're going to struggle with what we have. And the sin tonight that separates us from God, it will continue to defile every area of our lives. It will destroy us and rob us of a relationship with God. And one day, if it's not dealt with, it's going to damn us. Because we'll die in that sin. And we'll be lost for the whole of eternity. You say to me, well, listen, Pastor, what's the answer? My friend, the answer is Christ. The answer to the sin problem in our lives, it is Christ. He came from the glory of heaven to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to set the prisoner free. He came to die on a cross that our sins might all be dealt with, and that you and I might find in Him life that is more abundant, life that is eternal. In other words, something that is worth living for today and tomorrow and all our tomorrows until Jesus comes or calls us home. Didn't He say Himself, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it in abundance? The answer to the sin problem, the answer to these lives of ours that are ruined and ravaged by sin, is found in Christ alone. One occasion, a series of tornadoes devastated several communities in Ohio and western Pennsylvania. Over 100 lives were lost in those series of tornadoes as one property after another was hit, carried away and left in ruins. But amidst the gloom and amidst the distress, there was one story that surfaced that brought hope to that community. A man by the name of David Kostka, a school teacher, was out in the playground and he was umpiring a baseball match between the young people in the school. He saw the black funnel of the tornado approaching the field, and he knew there was absolutely nothing he could do, so he told the students to run and to find cover immediately and to get out of the path of the tornado. And he himself ran and he climbed up onto the steps at the side of the pitch and he threw his arms around his young niece who was sitting watching the game and totally unaware of what was happening. He carried her in his arms and ran.
threw her into the nearest ditch, and he lay down on her, and he covered her over with his own body until the storm had passed by. And when the storm was gone, the young girl was safe, but David Koske was carried away in the eye of the storm. It was written about him in the paper that he had given his life to save her. I want to tell you tonight that Christ has given his life to save us. He who had known nothing but the love of God from eternity past, he saw the divine clouds of anger and vengeance begin to gather and ready to burst upon a sinful world, and he recognized our plight. He who knew no sin, but who knew the sinner's plight, saw the eternal wrath of God that was going to consume a guilty world. And he who was the beloved of the Father, he left the glory of heaven aside and he stepped into the sinner's world. And then he took the sinner's place and he was bruised under the almighty hand of God so that our sins, your sins and mine, might be dealt with. Friend, if you're tired of your sin and your shame, if you're tired of the life that you're living, and you want something worth living for, and you want hope, and you want joy, and you want satisfaction, and you want something tonight to stir your soul and make life worth the living, then look to Christ. For none but Christ can satisfy. We've sang it tonight. Many in this meeting could speak from experience that these words are true. Everything else you try will not work. You need Christ, and you need Christ alone. This woman's distress, I want you to note this woman's determination. Humanly speaking, it seemed as if all hope had gone for this poor woman. And just when it seemed as if her agony would continue, she found her hope in Christ. For here's what we read in verse 44. She came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately the issue of blood stopped. Stopped. That's interesting, isn't it? There's no doubt that she must have known something of Christ. And like the crowd who had gathered that day, she had come to witness his power. But she was more determined than the rest of them in her distress. She reached out to Christ, for she believed personally he could do what others had failed to do in the past. Maybe she had heard of all that had happened in Gadara when the Lord Jesus had healed this man who couldn't be healed or bound with chains. Or maybe it was that she had heard from others of all that he'd been doing in the region round about as he demonstrated his power and as God showed his authority in the Savior's ministry. I don't know. We might never know. But she knew Jesus could do for her something that she could never do for herself. You'll note here she approached Jesus. She approached him. It says simply that she came in the press behind and touched his garment. Because of her condition, she was fearful of coming out into the open to make physical contact with him. She obviously didn't want to be discovered. She shouldn't have been there. But at the same time, she wasn't going to be deterred. And with determination, she pushed her way through the crowd. She reached out to him in faith. She only touched the hem of his garment. But she believed that that was enough for her to be healed. She came to Jesus just the way she was. She came to him for he was the only one who could meet her at the point of her need. And she reached out in faith because Christ could meet her deepest need. Let me say this to you. If you ever hope to be saved, if you ever hope to have a knowledge of your sins forgiven, then you'll have to come to Christ. He's the one who does the saving. There's no one else that you can turn to who can meet your need. There's no one else who can help you tonight in the midst of your sin. He and He alone can do that. But the onus is on you to respond to His love and to His mercy and to His invitation, and for you to come to Christ that you might be saved. He's done everything necessary for you to be saved. He looks into your heart tonight, man or woman, or perhaps there is a woman here that God's speaking to, and He looks into your heart tonight and He says to you, come on to Me. You're weak. You're heavy laden. You're weighed down with all the cares of life. You're living in sin and you're tired of it. You want respite. You want change. You want something worth living for. Jesus says, come to Me. Come to Me. I'm waiting. I'm willing to save you. Come to Me. And if you do, you'll come with this great assurance that God gives to us in His Word, that he that cometh unto Me, or in the case of this woman, she that cometh unto Me, I will in no wise cast out. Was that true of this woman? Of course it was. She approached Jesus. She was accepted by Jesus. Despite the crowd that were thronging after Him, Jesus knew that this woman had touched Him in faith. He asked the question, who touched My clothes? He knew the answer to the question. He knew exactly what had happened. He knew this woman and all about her state. You don't know her. I don't know her. We don't know her name. We know nothing about her except for the fact that she was in great distress and Christ delivered her. But He knew all about her. He knew her great need. He wanted to draw her out from the crowd to show publicly what had happened in her life. That's why Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Now you go in peace. She came in faith and Christ rewarded her for her faith. She reached out her hand only to touch the hem of His garment, but that was enough. Her response of faith was enough, and Jesus embraced her with open arms. She had not only approached the Savior, she was accepted by Him. Now you just think of what that meant for that woman. Everyone else had failed her. Jesus never fails. Everyone else had let her down. Jesus would never let her down. Everyone else had proved to be inadequate. But He had the power to heal her and to change her life. You see, that's the kind of Savior that He is. That's the kind of Savior that you will find Him to be if only you'd come and trust Him tonight. You say, but I've slipped in tonight, Pastor, and I'm sitting here. I don't want anybody to know anything about me. Too late. Too late. Jesus already knows everything about you. Everything. Knows your name. Knows your nature. Knows why you're here. Knows who brought you. Knows everything about you. Even those things hidden in your heart that others know absolutely nothing about. And yet, He's waiting and He's still willing to save you. And longing that you might reach out to Him in simple faith and embrace His love and find in Him, and you will find in Him everything you need in time and for the whole of eternity. Some of you might be saying, Pastor, hold on a moment. I'd love to believe that. But if he really knew me through and through, if he knew what my life was like, if he knew about the mess and the miserableness of my sin, if he knew all of that, he wouldn't be interested in me. Oh, my dear woman, young man, you're the very person that he's interested in. You're the very one that he came to save. You're the very reason he went to the cross. You are the one this evening he's more interested in than anybody else. You're not saved and you need a Savior. It doesn't matter if you're a great sinner. For you, there's a great Savior who's waiting to save you. It doesn't matter who you are. And it doesn't matter what you've done. If only you'd embrace him by faith. The words we've just been singing, they'll be the most meaningful words you'll ever sing for a long time. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit. And washed in his blood. It doesn't matter who you are. How deep and down in sin you might be, you're the very person that Jesus is waiting to save. Will you approach him tonight by faith? For if you do, he will not turn you away. This woman's distress, this woman's determination, just a moment on this woman's deliverance. What an experience this must have been. What an experience. She'd come with the crowd to see Jesus, weighed down by the cares of the world, in a state of distress with a life where all hope was gone. 12 long years battling with an incurable illness, and in a moment of time, her life was changed immediately and completely. Mark puts it like this in verse 29. He says, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Healed immediately, healed completely. She's now at peace with herself. The problem she had for 12 years is no more. And all of this had changed because this woman, in one simple act of faith, reached out to Christ, touched the hem of his garment, and Jesus healed her immediately. How long have you been living with the problem of your sin? How long have you been going on in life worrying and wondering about this, that and the other thing? Worrying about life and why you feel the way you do. Wondering about death and are you prepared for it? Wondering about eternity and where you'll be in it. You're carrying all the cares and the problems of life, the fear of death, and the dread of going out into eternity the way you are. And all of that can change in a moment of time. Because Jesus Christ can meet you at the point of your need tonight. And if you come to him in faith, he'll change you immediately. You're not going to get this salvation in stages. Oh yes, when you come to Christ, you're not going to be perfect. And you'll have to grow in grace and go on with him and learn to walk with him through all the difficulties and disappointments of life. But the moment you come to him immediately, he'll deal with your sin. And he'll deal with it completely. Because the Word of God says that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. All sin. That's a sin that others know about. And that's the sin that nobody knows about but you
and the Lord. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. That happens completely. And it'll happen this very night if you'll come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Do you know, multitudes of people have done that. And their testimony could easily be recorded in the words of a lovely hymn that says this: 'Twas Jesus, my Savior, who died on the tree to open a fountain for sinners like me. His blood is the fountain that pardon bestows and cleanses the foulest wherever it flows. For the conquering Savior shall break every chain and give us the victory again and again.'" This poor woman had an awful disease, beyond the reach of all she'd gone to. Without Christ, she had no hope. And yet he touched her and he transformed her and he set her on the road with peace running through her soul when there'd been nothing but pain running through her body. Friend, tonight, listen. What he did for that woman, he can and will do for any one of us and for every one of us if we'd only come in faith, reach out to him, trust him as our Savior, and you'll find, and you will find, Jesus is the answer to my every need.